All right. Well, we're excited to celebrate Mother's Day. Thanks, guys, for working so hard on that. And can we bring? Yeah, there we go. I can see people because I don't feel like I'm alone. So let me ask you this: how many guys have you already taken care of the mom in your house today? Two of you are in good standing. Three of you, four of you are in. Five of you, six of you. Now, I don't want to look. I don't want to look guilty. I did. I didn't do anything, but I don't want to look. You know, if you haven't, it's time to get on your game, because your moms have been taking care of you all day long, all your entire life. It's time for you to take care of them. Today, we're going to continue our series on kingdom, but it's a special message. It's not just for all of us. I find in being married now for over 15 years, I have learned a lot about women that I did not know. And I've also found after 15 years of marriage that I don't know half of what I thought I knew when we got married. Is anybody else in that same boat? But I want to share some of the things that I have learned and some of the things that Deidre has taught me that it's like to go to be a mom, and what some of the struggles that you have in following Christ in your life. Because we've all heard somebody say that once you become a Christian, everything gets easy. And probably all of us have come to the point of saying that person flat out lied to me, because it doesn't always get easy. And there are others that have an idea that to be a part of the kingdom that we've been talking about, that to be a part of a faith community that is following Christ, that means that all of a sudden everything just falls into place. That we have no doubts, we have no discouragements, that we never get depressed over anything, that somehow everything just works itself out. And what many of us has found is that that's just not really the case. But there's a very important component about the kingdom that is taught over and over and over by Jesus himself and is continued by the apostles. That is an idea that I think we have missed. And I think that we need to re-examine, we need to grab hold of it, and we need to understand that what Jesus is saying is absolutely important for our lives and is important for our community and is important for our world. And so today when we're going to talk about the kingdom, this is significant for everybody. But what I've learned about moms over the last 15 years is that this may be something that many of you struggle with. And so we're going to be looking at a couple of different passages. The main idea today, the main idea of the kingdom, so far we've looked at different aspects, but there is a consistent teaching that says the kingdom is liberating. You know what that means? The kingdom is freeing. The kingdom brings freedom. This kingdom of God that is existing around us, that is existing here in this world, that is invisible to our own eyes, but is just as active and is one day going to take over this reality, if we believe what Scripture says, is a kingdom that when it comes and you are exposed to it, it brings freedom into the life of a person who is in bondage. And I find for myself, the idea of freedom is huge. I find when I talk to other people, the idea of freedom is huge. We want to be free from heartache. We want to be free from bad decisions. We want to be free from having to do things we don't want to do. We want to be free from being under the thumb of somebody that we don't respect. We want to be free from discouragement. We want to be free from depression. We want to be free from a life without purpose. We want to be free from a life without hope. We want to be free to feel like our options in front of us are better than our options behind us. There's so many aspects of freedom that are appealing to us. And I found for moms, one of the things that they struggle with is the concept of freedom. Now, moms, just bear with me here. What I have learned from Deidre is that your role as a mother often puts you in a place where the last person that you think about is yourself. That's one of the first things I learned. Because there is an innate drive that goes on in women that just, by and large, does not go on in men. Men think about a lot of different things. They really don't. They only think about three normally. But we think about them in a number of different ways. But women, you guys, you're ready to conquer the world. And for moms, not only do you have to worry about what is going on in your marriage, what is going on in your own life, what is going on at work, once you introduce a child into the mix, then you have to wonder, is this child, am I taking good care of this child? Is she or he eating enough? Am I protecting them enough? Am I going to send them to the right school? Are they going to have a bad experience? And there's all these pressures that come on. And then when babies come into the world, they don't come with a manual. You can buy a manual, but they don't work. And when they come, they don't come with a nanny. And wouldn't that be awesome? If every baby came with a nanny, that would be so good, but they don't. And it would be nice, moms, if when the baby was born, that the dad all of a sudden gave up all of his hobbies and started helping around the house with the kids. Wouldn't that be nice? And you're saying, I'm not going to say anything because this will lead to a fight later. But you know that it would be nice if that were true. But instead, what happens many times for a mom is she takes on all of the extra pressures. Am I doing this right? Am I a good mom? One of the things that dads don't ask themselves, they don't ask themselves, am I a good dad? Because men have this innate confidence in them that, well, yes, I am. And that doesn't mean that they are. It just means that they're confident that they are. Can I get an amen from the men? Thank you for the four of you that were honest. For the rest of you, fess up later. We don't struggle with that image. Now, we often think, and one of the ways that I help Deidre in our family is, Deidre is very structured in the way she is moving with the kids, and I help her loosen up. Now, that's my ministry to Deidre. I'm not sure she sees it as a ministry, but I do. That's my ministry to Deidre. You know, they're not going to, why are the kids playing in the street? Because they need to learn how to dodge cars. Duh. You know, that is my ministry. That's just what I do in our family. You know, Mark, should you really be jump throwing the kids up in the air like that? Yes. I'm going to try not to drop them, but absolutely I should be throwing them up in the air. They need this, but it's scrambling their brains. Not a problem. You know, that's part of my ministry. But moms, and they worry about everything. They worry about them getting sick. They worry about them doing well in school. They worry about who they're going to marry, and they haven't even learned how to get out of a diaper yet. I just want to get out of the diaper. I mean, not me personally. I'm out of a diaper. But I just want the kids to get out of the diaper. And so along the way, moms take on not just the need to know that they're doing well as a mom, they often take on the soul and the heart of the family. And they begin to infuse into the family pieces of themselves. And many times a mom will turn around and one day she'll wonder, who am I? Because I'm giving so much of myself to my kids or to my spouse or to my work or whatever, all the things that I'm juggling, and they give and give and give. And that is fine because you can build up a reserve. But eventually you come to the place of wondering, who am I? What do I want out of life? How do I achieve my dreams? And I don't want to diminish the fact that very much the dreams of a mother are tied up in their children. I don't want to diminish that or say that that's a bad thing. But there are times when moms have to look at themselves and say, but who am I? The idea of freedom is not one that a young mother especially often experiences. The idea of being busy, the idea of running the kids all these different places, being able to fulfill all the obligations of school, making sure that the kids get a chance to play with their friends. I mean, all of you that haven't had kids yet, you're really excited now to have kids, aren't you? It's just such a lovely picture. But truly my desire is that we would all find freedom. Because Jesus consistently said, you will be free when you follow me. You will be free when you experience the kingdom. There are no citizens of the kingdom in bondage. But yet when I look at my own life, it would be hard for me to say, I don't live many times in my life as a free person. I feel very much in bondage. So let's look at a couple of passages of scripture. And some of the things that are consistently said. And you're going to find this You're going to find this, Matthew, well, let me just read this. Before, don't go to that next one yet. Oh, no, I do have it on there. Matthew 13, 44. I read this the first week we did Kingdom. This is one of the parables, and just real briefly, it says this. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. In his excitement, he hid it again and sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field. The kingdom of God is something that is so valuable, there is nothing you currently possess that comes anywhere close to the value of this kingdom. In fact, the kingdom of God is so great, if you truly saw it for what it was, you would give up everything you have just for the chance of obtaining it. The kingdom of God is so huge, it is so involved, it is so incredible that we would give up anything that we had. We would give up our livelihoods, we would give up our jobs, we would give up our homes, we would give up our stuff that many of us have spent an entire lifetime collecting. We would give all that up because the kingdom, some, there are just some things that when you're going about your everyday business, you see and it all of a sudden has far and above more value than you've ever experienced. And you just want it. And you've got to have it. And if you're thinking, that's not me, think about when you were a kid. And, you know, you got that little Lego set, guys, maybe, and it had 100 pieces, and it was awesome until you saw the 5,000-piece Death Star, and you thought, I got to have that? I want you to imagine that if the kingdom is real, that it is so far and above and beyond better than what you have now, you give up everything for it. But if that's true, let me just point out the white elephant in the room. If that is true, why do so many people reject Jesus? If the kingdom is so awesome, if it is so fantastic, if when viewing it, it makes us want to give up everything we have for a chance at it, why do so many people reject it? Does anybody else wonder those questions? Some of you say, well, I don't wonder those questions because someone told me a long time ago I wasn't supposed to wonder those things. I wonder those things. I ask those questions. If it's so awesome, why don't people take it? For the past couple of weeks, we've looked at some characteristics of what this treasure might be. So as we think about the kingdom and think about what is this treasure, the first thing we looked at is that the kingdom is here. The kingdom is now. The kingdom is not something that's coming later. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is at hand. That means it is happening now. It is not just going on around us. It is happening right now. And last week, we talked about another aspect of the kingdom, something that I yearn for, I long for, that I think, to be honest, many of us long for, and that is that the kingdom is committed, not committed to a place where they're locked up, where some people think I should be, but we're committed to each other. We're committed to our relationship with God. We're committed to each other as a community of faith. And I believe that is the reason that Jesus said, people will know you are my disciples because of your love for one another. You are committed to each other. And folks, you know as well as I do, that is not normal in this world. Those kinds of relationships are not normal. And I'm going to go a step farther. I've been a part of church ministry for 20 years now. I would go so far as to say a committed relationship among people is no longer normal in a church. Now, if you're thinking, well, Mark, why are you doing church then? It's because I believe this is what it's supposed to be. The kingdom is supposed to be committed to each other. There are just things that happen within life. And I try to say, being a follower of Christ does not mean pursuing an easy life. There are so many ways that that is wrong and so unbiblical. And if you think that, well, Mark, that just doesn't make sense to me. If the kingdom is all that, it should be a great, easy life. That's what I would imagine a great treasure would be. But the fact is, when Jesus talked to his disciples, didn't he say crazy things like, don't take anything with you, don't take any clothes, don't take any money? You guys are going to get killed because of me? Hoorah. And so the kingdom is not supposed to be easy. I don't know if you've ever been through a difficult time, and I know many of you have. That's kind of rhetorical. I know many of you have been through a difficult time. Have you ever been through a difficult time and had somebody walk with you and be with you? Kingdom is committed. It's in a relationship that says, we may not do everything alike. We may not agree on everything, but I've got your back. I'm here with you. I am here for you. I am here to help you. Once you have children, you understand the concept that it takes a village to raise kids. Am I right? It takes a village. Sometimes it takes a village for my neighbor to drag my five-year-old back up the street after he's been playing on the lawnmower 2 blocks over. That's never actually happened, but similar things have. It takes a village. The other day, one of our neighbors just came by, and the kids had jumped out of the car, left the door open, left all the lights on in the car, came by, sent Deidre a text at like 1 in the morning. Just drove by, your car door's open, battery was going to die, we shut your door for you. I was like, ah. Great. It takes a village to do life. The kingdom is committed to each other. I yearn for that. And today what I want to talk to you about is that the kingdom is liberated. I've already mentioned that. The kingdom brings freedom. When I look at why do people reject freedom, I wrote down just a few reasons why I think people, why they refuse to reject this treasure. And one is this. People don't necessarily want freedom that Jesus offers. They want freedom to pursue a choices, whether they're good choices or bad choices. They just want the ability to choose. I don't care if I choose bad. I just don't want anybody else directing me. I'm going to do what I want. They want the freedom to pursue wealth, which there's not a single person on the face of the planet that would agree that that is a worthy pursuit, except for those that don't have it. For those that have it, they'll say it's not worthy to be pursued. Once you have it, you realize how empty and hollow it is, but people want the freedom to pursue it. If that means I have to cheat to get ahead, I'll cheat. I don't want anything stopping me. They'll pursue wealth. Freedom to pursue a lifestyle. This is just the way I want to live. This is what I want to do with my life. I want to pursue that, and I want to do it unencumbered. Freedom to pursue happiness. And the reason happiness is in quotes is because that is so stinking subjective. What does it really mean to be happy? No problems? No financial worries? Vacations, cars, houses. I mean, what does it mean to be happy? For me, there's this sense of happiness that has been lost in the world. It's this sense that we find in the Old Testament through the word shalom of peace and wholeness. There's a happiness that says, I have things falling apart around me, but I am whole and complete. I'm full. Have you ever left an event where you just felt full? I don't mean full in your stomach, but I mean you just felt like life makes sense. It's good. Things aren't perfect, but it just, life is good. It feels whole, full, shalom, peace. I think the number one reason that people reject this treasure is because ultimately people are pursuing themselves. And that is very similar to the first sin ever recorded, to be like God. They want to pursue themselves. I guess it's interesting. Romans chapter 8. If you've got a Bible and you want to flip there, you can. It will be on the screen. If you don't have a Bible, as you walk out today, there's Bibles on the hallway, and those are free. Those yellow Bibles are free for you to take and to have. And if you've got someone you want to take one to, feel free to do that. Romans, the book of Romans itself is so rich in information that God passed through the Apostle Paul and about what it means to be free, what it means to have a relationship with Christ, what it means to be a part of this kingdom. And this is what he says, Romans chapter 8, verse 1. He says, so now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Moms, one thing I have noticed is that this is a verse that doesn't make sense to you. There's no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Because it doesn't matter how much a mom gives, I've noticed a pattern that moms never think it's enough. And while others may sing your praises, and they may give flowers out at church, and they may preach a sermon about how great you are, within the heart of a mother is a sense that it's never enough. What if they missed something? What if they didn't do something? What if they could have done it better? What if they did all these things for their kids, but it wasn't enough? What if their kids don't know that they love them? What if their kids don't have the best chance at their future? What if I could have done one more thing? What if I could have done this? What if I could have done that? Because just like the video jokingly said, moms are mama bears. And when you mess with their kids, you're messing with trouble because they want the very best for their kids. And they will give anything in themselves to help their kids have something they even feel that they never had. It is one of the most sacrificial and self-giving things that anyone on this earth does, is to provide for a child. Moms would give their life for their kids. And sometimes they wonder, do I hug them enough? Dads don't often think that. But moms do. But I think it's fascinating that in this passage in Romans, it says there is no condemnation. Now, let me just broaden it, because some of you guys that are in here, you're like, man, what about me? And the fact is that guys can often internalize things that they would never admit to out loud. Feeling of guilt, shame, disappointment, embarrassment. If you follow any news agency, you'll find that this recession, one of the greatest casualties of the recession that we're in, are the number of men who are out of work. They're calling it the demasculinization of America. Because men need to feel a sense that they are productive, that they are helping, that they are doing something. And when that is taken away, a number of emotions flood in. And because guys are not the ones to call up their buddies and say, hey, man, how you feeling, man? I'm just feeling low today. They don't have those conversations. One of the promises for the kingdom is there is no condemnation, whether it's from others, from God, or from ourselves. For those that belong to Jesus, there is no condemnation. Let's keep moving. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. So what are some of the freedoms that we read about in this passage? Number one that I've already mentioned, there's no condemnation. You're not guilty before God or anyone else. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't make mistakes. That doesn't mean that you're going to get pulled over because you just robbed a bank and they're going to say, oh, you're a Christian. No condemnation. Go your way. Enjoy your trip to wherever you're going with that money. That doesn't mean that. But there is something in those in which God is pursuing that feels a bondage to something greater than just their circumstances. It is a bondage to something that grabs our hearts, that takes us to places we don't want to go, that causes us to do things that hurt people and that we grieve over, that causes us to make choices that eliminate options because we made bad choices and that grieves us. There is something in people who God is pursuing that they struggle with the idea that I am less than honorable. I am less than worthy. I am less than that which should be loved or cared about. And the reason that I say there are those feelings happening in those people that God is pursuing is because the Bible tells us clearly, you will never see the kingdom as you want to see it if God is not pursuing you in the form of the Holy Spirit, what we might call convicting you. The Holy Spirit talking to you, whispering to you, giving you glimpses of the kingdom. Maybe not like you would watch a movie, but something in you that says, there's got to be something different. There's got to be something more to this life. There's got to be something more to these relationships. And what is this guilt that I feel? And I don't understand this guilt. I'm not broken any laws. When God is pursuing you in that way and the Holy Spirit is just whispering in your ear, there is a better world. There is a better way. There is a better life. And there's something in us that says, but I don't know how to get that. God is pursuing you. That is significant. There's no condemnation as a guilty person before a just God. Second thing is this. That passage says that God's Spirit gives us life and freedom from the power of sin. I love the description. The life-giving Spirit. Are there not things in your life that are life-taking? It's interesting. Some of our core leaders a few months ago, I said, I want you to send me two lists. One list is, what do you do at Journey that gives you life? And the second, you remember this? Will's in here. Scott and Charlie aren't in here, but I sent it to them. And one list is what gives you life. One list is what takes life from you being involved in leadership at Journey. And at first thought, I thought, this is going to be easy. But apparently it wasn't a real easy exercise. But this idea that there are things in our lives that they take life from us, they take energy from us. We often understand that in relationships. There are people that we have chosen to have a relationship that suck the life out of us, but yet we have chosen to be in a relationship. If they're family, then we have no choice, and so we've just figured out a way to make it work, which is, by the way, one of the reasons I believe the church is supposed to be described as a family, is because just like in your relationship with your brother, your sister, cousins, uncles, whoever, that you just decide, I have to have a relationship with you, even if you drive me nuts, that same type of tenacity and commitment needs to be in the church among people. You drive me nuts, but man, we're family. We're gonna figure out a way to coexist. And by the way, if that messes with your theology of being a follower of Jesus, that we are so different that we can drive each other nuts, all you have to do is go read anything about spiritual gifts. And you're going to find that God has gifted people to be so different from each other. And you can be fully following God and fully pissing off your neighbor. That's a good quote, by the way, if you're tweeting. That sounds so... Anyways, gotta be careful how you use that. Because God will lead one person to honor him in one way, and it will really upset somebody else who leads in a different way. If you think I'm crazy, go back and read. Figure out what a prophet does. A prophet stands up and says, you are wrong. You shouldn't be doing this. This is what Scripture says. And can be fully honoring God with what they're doing. And yet a person with the gift of mercy is going, why are you being so hard on them? And if you don't think I'm lying, that's exactly how it works. I can't understand why you're so hard on them. Can't you just see that they're hurting? Can't you care for them? Man, they need to know the truth. That's a conversation. I've had that conversation with more people. You'd be surprised. You can fully honor God and make the people around you mad. That's why the family has to be connected. That's why we tenaciously have to decide we are in the same body together. And just because we don't look the same doesn't mean we're not following God the same. Anyways, that's an aside. That's a separate thing, but still a huge part of the kingdom. But God's Spirit brings life. It gives life to us. Do you live a life, you get up and you say, man, I just feel full of life? Or do you feel like life is slipping away? Young parents often feel that life is slipping away because we are bound up in the busyness of getting them to school. And right now, at our stage of life, finding out which after-school activity we've got to get which kid to. Can anyone in here tell me that that will end one day? No. Wonderful. None of you that have older kids can tell me that it'll get better? They'll start driving. Then I'll worry about them driving, right? Yeah. Young parents often feel that life is slipping away because they are investing so much in their kids. The kingdom gives life. It's freedom from the power of sin. Third thing is it gives freedom from the entrapment of sin. See, sin entraps us. It is enticing. The way that Satan in the garden tempted Eve was to say all of the benefits of the sin, none of the consequences. Whenever we are tempted to sin, we are entrapped by it because we immediately only view the things that are positive and look good, but we ignore all of the consequences. It's freedom from the entrapment of sin. And four, it's the freedom to follow God's Spirit. Now, this is where I am, and I don't expect everyone to be where I am. If you're following the kingdom of God, if you're a part of the kingdom of God, there is a drawing that you will have. Every single person will have. If you are a believer of Jesus Christ, if you have said, your life you gave for me, and I receive that as a sacrifice for my sins, because I sinned, it is my fault, but you paid for that with your own death. I want to follow you, and I will go wherever you tell me to go. If you are a follower of Jesus who is committed to those things, there is a pull within your life that you want to follow him. It doesn't mean that you always will do it well, but there is a pull that says, I want to. It will draw you to him. It is the Holy Spirit that is said to be a deposit or a gift or a helper that he gives to that believer that says, not only are you going to now live this life in the kingdom, the Holy Spirit, God, is going to live in you to help you do it. You're going to see it. You're going to understand it. You're going to live in it. And that is going to draw you to follow Jesus. For me, that is freedom. That is freedom, the ability to pursue my Creator. Free people, some things, characteristics I thought of people who are free. And this is not meant to be a test, but just some things that I notice about people who live in lives of freedom. I don't notice that everything goes right for them. But these are some characteristics of people that are living in this freedom that Jesus gave his life for. One is, they tenaciously pursue God over everything else. They go after it. They want to know Scripture. They want to honor God. And for moms, you may even add that onto your list of all the other things you're trying to do if you perceive that your kids are only going to turn out the way that you make them. But people who experience the freedom of this kingdom, they tenaciously pursue God over everything else. I found in my own life, when I'm doing that, and I don't do it all the time, but when I'm doing that, everything else falls in place. Another thing that happens for free people is that they see everything as spiritual. Everything is spiritual. There's nothing that's not spiritual. Whenever they see everything as spiritual, they begin to see the kingdom that is intertwining in the world around us. They see our decisions as things that God uses or God directs. They see our interactions with people. And maybe I didn't choose to talk with them today, but God has chosen for me to spend time with this person to help them or for them to help me. God has chosen to make these things happen. They see everything as spiritual. The world sees nothing as spiritual. Everything is just what they can see and touch. But we know there's more to that. There's more to life than that. Everything is spiritual. They've also determined that their identity is going to be through their Creator, not through their jobs. Not through their jobs. In our house, we have two people that are working full-time in our family. Me and Deidre both. We have three kids that are full-time kids. And so for Deidre, she is not only an employee, she is someone who does carpool, as do I. She is someone who makes sure that dad doesn't kill them, so she's their protector. She is someone who makes sure that they're well, or if they're sick, her first inclination is to hug them and be there with them. She has this thing, when they're sick, and one of our kids comes up to me, just to give you an idea, and they come up to me and they say, Dad, I don't feel good. I say, okay, well, just, you know, go on to bed or go do something else or whatever. And Deidre, she has this thing, and she's got to find out if they have a fever. And they usually don't, but it's this weird thing that always ends in a hug. Do you ever, other moms, do this? It's like she touches their head, and then she touches their back, and then all of a sudden she gives them a big hug, and I'm like, what's up with that? We've got an electronic thermometer. What is up with that? But you're the nurse. You're the person that helps with homework. You're the person that is there whenever they've had a hard day at school When our kids come home and say, well, somebody at school gave them a hard time or said they didn't want to be their friend, which, what's up with five-year-olds telling other five-year-olds, I'm not going to be your friend anymore? And they come home saying, my best friend won't be my friend anymore. They're the ones that are there to hug. They're the ones that when they see them hurting, they're there to comfort them. They're there to say, yes, you can have more cookies, even though dad said no, because they know they're upset. As a follower of Jesus, if you're a mother, it's not just about adding this extra spiritual duty. It's about allowing the spiritual nature of being a follower of Jesus to overwhelm every other part of your identity. You are number one, a child of God. Number one, a child of God. And there is no condemnation for the children of God, not even the things that you say in your mind. I'm not saying that we don't need to look for every opportunity to improve our ability to care for others. There's no condemnation for those who have experienced this freedom. They determine their identity through their Creator, not through their jobs, not through others' opinions. They're in bondage to no one but the one who freed them from sin. So when I read through these things, I don't know if you ask this question, I ask this question. If that's all true, that's all true, why is it so hard? Why is it so hard to be a Christian? Why is it so hard to love certain people? Why is it so hard to be committed to help others? Why is it so difficult to follow God without screwing up? Why is it so hard? Shouldn't it be easier? I have so many times I've prayed and I'll say, God, if you want me to follow you, just make it easier. And he never says okay, ever. So he puts things like this in scripture. I'm going to read this. I just want to go real quickly through this, but it's so significant. Why is it so hard to live in the kingdom that brings freedom, but yet sometimes feel like we're still held bondage to the same old stuff? It says, for you have been called to live in freedom. This is Galatians chapter 5, another letter that Paul wrote to a church. For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. This is Jesus, one of the things that Jesus was talking about. Don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Does that sound familiar? But if you are always biting and devouring one another, watch out. The way we deal with people matters. Beware of destroying one another. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires. That's the Holy Spirit gives a follower of Christ, gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. As a follower of Jesus, you can be fully committed to him and fully struggle with walking in wisdom and walking in holiness. There is a sinful nature that is in each one of us that God never says will be removed when you become a Christian. But what he says is the Holy Spirit will live in you, and the Holy Spirit will be talking to you, whispering to you, showing you these things. And then your own mind, your own sinful nature is going to be at war with the Holy Spirit doing things in your life. And if you're a normal person, there are days that the Holy Spirit is going to win. And there are days that your sinful nature is going to win. And on the days that your sinful nature wins, you don't say, I must not be a believer. You go to God and you say, forgive me for letting my sinful nature win today. And help me to restore anyone I have hurt. And he says so clearly, you are going to set out to do things in your life that you will fail at, not because you're not good, not because you're not valuable, not because God doesn't love you, and not because God's not working in your life, but because there is this divine setup, a struggle between good and evil that exists, not just in the world around us, but inside our very hearts. And that will not be taken away. until one day that we get to go to heaven. One of the reasons I believe heaven's in Scripture, because we can look forward to the day when that struggle is over and evil is banished. Evil doesn't just live in a terrorist halfway across the world or halfway across the street. Evil lives in every one of our own hearts. The Holy Spirit can as well. The Holy Spirit can as well. Let me leave you with some questions, and I'm going to close. Why is it so hard? Put that next slide up. The process isn't complete, is what I'm trying to say. The process is not complete. We are in a process of followers of Jesus. Let me ask you this. Number one, what freedoms are you pursuing? Are you pursuing the right to a life of comfort and ease? Are you pursuing a life that has no problems? Are you going to avoid anybody that you don't naturally find yourself attracted to? Are you pursuing the ability to fully understand who you are and experience your own desires in its fullness? Are you pursuing yourself? Are you pursuing your family, and are you letting your family be the identity for which who you are? Which really is hard because you can't control anyone else in your family. So if they go off in a rogue direction, you can feel utterly destroyed and as a failure. What are you pursuing? Second question is this. Do others perceive that you are truly free or just enslaved to something else? Enslaved to religion is no better than being enslaved to sin. Religious activities don't do anything. That heart that has changed because you recognize what Christ did and we follow him. Are you free or just enslaved to something else? And are you confident in who you are? You have been given the tools to be who you are in the world today. You have been given the tools to be a mom or a dad, a husband or a wife, to be someone who is married or single, to be a child, to be a cousin, to be whatever. You have been uniquely created and gifted to be exactly who you were supposed to be. Are you confident in that? My last thing I want to leave with you is this. When we choose to accept God's gift of forgiveness, we experience God's movement to true freedom. So my desire is that we would be a people that would move not only ourselves to freedom, but we would move others to freedom as well. Because there is no condemnation for those who know Jesus. Would you pray with me? Father, God, it is so difficult sometimes to see the kingdom when I am wrapped up in my world. So difficult to feel free when I feel enslaved to my own bad choices or my schedule or my duties and responsibilities. But you have said that this is a kingdom of freedom. And so I pray that in our lives in this room that we would be a people that would exemplify that. I pray that you would unleash us to be your people in this world. I pray that all those words that are going on in our heads telling us we're not good enough, all those whispers telling us that we are failures, that we have no value, that we're not good at whatever. God, I pray that you would help us to understand the incredible sacrifice that Jesus gave, and that that would draw us to you, and that we would fully invest and follow you. Help us as a community be the kingdom. Help us as journey to have relationships with each other, to get to know one another, to understand the hurts and the pains, and to walk beside each other, to carry each other's burdens, to celebrate the joys and the victories of life together. Help us to leave people who are in bondage to sin to be free. God, I pray that as we walk out of this room today, we will walk out seeing everything as spiritual. Your hand is at work all around us, and your kingdom is a treasure worth giving up everything we have for. thank you for your love and your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.